The heart of every organization is its people. We're taking action to take care of them, to develop a world-class team, now and into the future. This is Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie.
Hello, welcome back to the NAVWAR podcast, Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie. Just a heads up, it's just Frankie today. Art wasn't able to make it, so I told him that I would take the lead. I felt pretty comfortable with the content that we're going to discuss today. We have some great news and information to share, and I'm really excited. We have two special guests with us. So our first guest that we're going to be talking with today is Jason Semirakis. He is the founder and CEO of Transition Careers. Transition Careers is a business that we are partnering with to host the first ever NAVWAR hiring fair on Monday, February 12th, 2024, starting at 11 a.m. We are excited to talk to you about that, and Jason's going to share with us kind of what job seekers can expect, the days leading up to the event, what to expect during the event, and then some tips and helpful things you can do at the conclusion of the event.
Excited and honored to be here, so thank you for inviting me to be a guest today. The event is Monday, February 12th. And it's a defense, space, IT, cyber, and intel-focused hiring affair. It's going to be here on the Old Town campus, NAVWAR headquarters. And it's designed to be a very targeted, focused event. It's open to individuals that have DoD ID cards, CAT cards, retired military IDs. Anyone that's got access to a military installation will be able to come and meet with employers. The event will also help job seekers in a couple of different facets. One, they'll be able to engage and meet with folks face-to-face, ask questions, find out about what's necessary, what certifications they need for positions, find out what job opportunities are currently open, what's on the horizon. Just ask questions, get that face-to-face interaction, not only from NAVWAR, but other employers from federal agencies and defense contractors.
I mentioned earlier, we're excited to partner with you for the first ever career fair here at OTC. You hit a little bit on, you know, it's going to be very intimate, not overwhelming for the prospective employees, job seekers. Can you tell us a little bit more? Because I actually haven't been to any career fairs in quite a while, but I'm sure that people listening in who may be interested in looking for a new challenge, job opportunity, would love to kind of envision what they can expect on 12 February.
Anyone that's interested, they should definitely register, upload their resume. Even if they can't physically make it, still register, upload the resume. That way it'll be shared with the participating employers. When they register on my site, they'll get tips on what to do before, during, and after.
Okay.
But the main thing that I tell any job seeker, it's all about networking. And your goal when you come to these events is to expand your network, make some new contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't find an opportunity tomorrow, that doesn't mean that someone that you met, they'll call you a week or 2 weeks or a month down the road and say, hey, I met you at this event. We have this new opportunity. You're a great fit.
Yeah.
We want to talk more and, you know, let's set up an interview.
Definitely. I think you hit on something really important. If nothing else, the networking alone can be very valuable. At NAVWAR, we tend to use this, I'll call it a resume intake system because that's the capacity of it right now, called Yellow. And you're right. It's a very focused job fair. At NAVWAR, we've said it before, we have tons of professions here, everything from HR to budget to legal to contracts to safety, security, the list goes on. In my case, I'm not going to be filling any HR positions because I don't have any vacancies, number one, but number two, because that's not the target of this particular job fair. It still is a great opportunity to network, get that resume in, because what we do with our Yellow tool from a NAVWAR perspective is we go back into that repository of all the resumes that we've collected. And you're right, just how you explained it, there may not be an opportunity for that particular individual and their skill set this month, next month, but maybe 6 months from now. And we can pick up the phone and call them and say, I've looked at your resume. You've got the qualifications. We think this would be a great fit. Are you interested? The other thing I want to take an opportunity and mention to our listeners here and anybody else who might have come across this because somebody shared it with you. We are actually going to be daring The HR team here at NavWAR is going to push the envelope, and we're going to do something I don't think is very common. We've decided, as part of our first annual career fair here in partnership with you at Transition Careers, we are going to position ourselves to maximize the opportunity for giving on-the-spot job offers. So the potential is out there. If you register and you come to this event looking for a profession in defense, cyber, intel, IT, did I leave anything out? I think that was about it. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. If you're looking for a profession there, there's a great chance that you might be able to walk out same day on 12 February with a job offer. So going back to your point, don't wait till the last minute. I am always guilty of that. It is extremely helpful to NavWAR HR team if you pre-register, upload that resume in there ahead of time, because our NavWAR department leaders are going to be going into that repository and culling through the resumes, and the off chance that they might see somebody that they want to actually hold essentially an interview the day of, assuming everything goes well, we can extend that job offer. That's really exciting. And if you were kind of on the fence about, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, hopefully that'll push you over and get you in the door, because we are always looking for talent. Our mission requires it. And the warfighter and the fleet, we need the best and brightest. So I'm excited about that. We'll see how far this risk-taking envelope pushing is going to go. But we would like to get your stuff in advance. But on the off chance that you're like me and you wait to the last minute, we also have a contingency plan in place. The team will be on site and ready to do qualifications review on the spot. And that can also help facilitate perhaps interviews, or maybe not an interview that day, scheduling it out later in the week. The networking, the connections is important. So can you tell me a little bit more about, you kind of walked through, you know, the employers, what they can expect. You mentioned people who, anybody that can access a federal installation, in this case, our Old Town campus. What else do you think that people would need to know or would be helpful for them to know?
I want to focus on transitioning service members. So okay. That's why the name of my company is Transition Careers, because I want to help transitioning service members as much as possible. So if you're going to be transitioning out 6 months down the road, a year, 2 years, I highly encourage you. This is the time when you want to get out, network. When they get to talk to people and find out opportunities and what people are looking for, that helps them plan for when they decide they're going to transition out of the service.
Yeah, when they're ready to go. That's a great point. We talked about, you know, kind of what to expect before, during the event. Talk to me a little bit about what they can expect at the end of the event on the 12th.
Well, first, I would tell these job seekers, make sure you talk to everyone, because you're coming to the event. Don't skip over someone because you're assuming they might not have a good opportunity, or you have a different thought of what they do or what positions they have. And when they register, they're going to get tips on what to do before, during, and after.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have a punch list of what they need to do after. So they need to take ownership. I always tell people that I'm the host of the party.
Yeah.
I'm not making the love connection. I'm just creating the environment where people can meet and make those connections. But they got to take ownership. They have to do their follow-up with the individuals that they got to meet.
Basically manage your own career. That's very important. But the networking is where it starts. Something else that came to mind as you were talking, I got to imagine, you know, networking is part of it. But if you kind of drill down a little bit more, and something NavWAR is really big and focused on for their workforce is mentoring. I got to imagine you've got a lot of professionals, highly skilled, very seasoned, been in the field a while. It might also be an opportunity to find a potential mentor. You can never have enough mentors. So I would offer, from the NavWAR perspective, you might find a mentor to add to your Rolodex, because then the mentorship goes back to networking. They may not have anything for you, but they know somebody who has a need, and boom, you would have never otherwise found it if you hadn't done that networking and perhaps made a connection for a mentor. So something else to consider as well.
One other thing I wanted to mention. I typically don't like to do events on Mondays, but there's a specific reason.
Oh, what is that reason?
It's because there's a huge conference that comes to San Diego called WEST. It's the premier IT-focused event for the Department of Defense.
Okay.
Timing of the event is to make it convenient for employers or defense contractors and federal agencies that may be coming in for that and they have recruiting needs. They can participate in the event and vice versa.
That's right.
Anyone that's looking for an opportunity that happens to be coming into town, they can come to the event on the 12th, which is the day before that conference opens up.
That's right. And that was really good planning. I'm glad you mentioned that. NAVWAR plays a huge role in that conference that you're talking about, FCO West, and NAVWAR will be present there. A lot of our leaders will be there. So thanks for making that connection because I completely forgot about that. I've been so focused on the career fair, but that is a very good point. The second topic we're going to be discussing, and we think it ties in nicely, now you know that you likely are going to attend a hiring fair, you'll probably need to submit a resume or submit some applications for federal employment. We are going to be talking with a guest who's going to give us some helpful tips and best practices on basically how to navigate the waters of applying for federal civilian employment and how to set yourself up in terms of building your resume in that system that everybody knows about called USA Jobs. Diane, thanks for coming today. This is our guest. Her name is Diane Avalos. Diane works for the NAVWAR HR team. Diane is the NAVWAR Staffing Recruitment Supervisor. I want to thank you for being here. Are you excited?
Thank you, Frankie. I am excited to be here and to talk about USA Jobs and the hiring process.
Good. This is going to be fun. It's going to be like two friends talking over coffee. It'll be all okay. Before we jump into the topic of USA Jobs, it would be really helpful for our listeners to hear a little bit about your background. Can you share with us how you started your federal civilian career? And I think you probably started elsewhere before you entered into the civilian service. So you want to share with us?
Yeah, sure thing, Frankie. I was in the Marine Corps. I was a corrections officer. I was stationed at Camp Pendleton Base Brig. I love working with the military. And while corrections wasn't necessarily a good fit for me, I still wanted to work with the military in some sense, sort of manner, when I got out of the Marine Corps. I started pursuing and looking into the federal service and wanting to get a job doing that. And what's even more interesting is I had so many people telling me, well, good luck with that. Like, you need to know the right people to get a job like that. And also, you're never going to get past the system because it's set up a certain way that if you don't have this sort of experience or if you're not already a federal employee, that you're never going to get in there. And I just kind of took that up as an opportunity to look into that a little bit further. I think this topic is super relevant and it fits and ties into like my experience in my past and then getting to where I'm at today. You know, now I've been working for the federal service for going on 8 years now, and it's just been a wonderful experience. I've been doing recruitment and staffing since the day I started. Just want to help anybody out who's looking to join this field or get a federal job that it's not impossible. It just takes some research and really being on top of like what you want to do, the experience that you have, and advocating for yourself when you do this.
So I'm sure that you've gotten a good gauge of, you know, here's some things to do and here's some things maybe not to do.
Definitely.
And so I hope that you'll share that with our listeners just to make sure everybody's on the same equal footing here. Why would somebody need to know about USA Jobs?
So I would say that USA Jobs is probably the primary source for applying for federal positions or looking for just anywhere to work for the civilian service. And I'm not saying it's the only platform for it, but it is a good place to start. And also, there's a lot of resources available to do applicants on USA Jobs website. If you're looking for specific types of positions that you're trying to apply for or how you could qualify for some of these positions, mm-hmm. I really like their build your own resume feature, which is just the resume builder. It actually takes you and walks you through this process to ensure that when you apply for these positions that you're including all of the relevant and pertinent information that's going to get you in the door if you have that qualifying experience. I highly recommend using the resume builder feature. And whether or not you build your resume that way or not, it's a good place to start because at least you can see from there the information that you need to provide. The difference in putting it in or leaving it out could be the difference of you being referred for a position or not being referred. There's also a lot of other features in there where you can set up some job searches for yourself where you can receive notifications. So if you're looking for jobs in like the intel community or human resources as an example. That's something that you can put into like your areas of interest. And then also you can make your resume searchable on there too. There's really a lot of good features in there. It's just a great place to start and learning more about civilian service too and how to get your foot in the door.
Okay. Well, you mentioned a couple of things already that I think we could maybe dive in the weeds a little bit more on them. I think it would be helpful to the listeners. So let's talk about profile established. You need to do that. You mentioned resume. Well, yeah, if you're going to apply for a federal job, you probably have to have a resume to submit. It tells you what information it needs from you, text boxes that you will drop your content into. So that's one option. The other option that USA Jobs allows users to do is simply upload their own Word document or PDF of their resume. And in that sense, that is something where the user can format and do the style of their resume that they prefer. They're not bound by the fill-in features of the resume builder that USA Jobs has. So let me ask you this. What would you say are perhaps the pros and cons of using Resume Builder over somebody like me who's like, nah, I don't want to be confined. I want to build my own resume.
The pros of using it is that it's going to have all those inputs so you don't miss information that is required when you're applying for federal positions. Additionally, when you complete all of these fields, it will spit out a template of a resume that's pre-formatted for you in the way that you're filling out all the text box inputs on whether it's your experience, your education, or maybe some certifications that you have, volunteer service, anything like that. When it's all said and done, it's going to come out with a formatted resume and it's going to line up your experience chronologically, at least from my experience in building mine before. Like, I guess on the con side of that, it would take away from if you wanted to put your own like spin on your resume, like model it to look a little bit differently.
There could be a little bit of a risk there because you're not following a standard format. So there's a chance that you could leave out some pertinent critical information that ultimately could disqualify you from even being considered.
Federal resume writing is a lot different. Like, we actually need to substantiate what we're doing. And also, your reader on the other end is going to be another HR professional. So if you work in IT and your previous job experience is all IT related, and if you're writing in your resume a bunch of acronyms and stuff that like an HR person probably wouldn't know, you want to model it in a way that your reader is going to be able to understand. So this way they can qualify you against the position requirements. When you're applying for job announcements, it's really crucial to make sure you're reading the announcement in its entirety, because spending all that time working on this amazing resume that talks about your experience, and then you get a notification, oh, you're not being referred because you didn't provide supporting documentation as required. It's an easy way to miss out on a job opportunity that could have been like the right fit. Really focus on the qualification statement and make sure that your resume substantiates that qualification statement.
Identifying specific job families or occupations that you're looking for. What do you want to share with us about that?
You can actually set up a job search alert in USA Jobs. So if you have a certain series, like for example, HR's 200 series, you can set it up that anytime a position is advertised, and if you're looking to work in a certain location, that you can actually set it up to receive email notifications when announcements like this get posted. So tailor it to what you're looking for and what you know you want to do. That's an excellent feature and it's super easy to do.
So setting up the job search alert, I use that. I think it's a great tool because I don't have the best memory and I get taken away and like distracted, like, oh, squirrel, something sparkly over there. So the job search alert has come in super handy for me just in my professional career, because I have it set up where it sends me daily notices anytime a job opens. So
That's
I get
great.
The email around 10 o'clock at night to alleviate you from having to check every day or every week on USA Jobs.
Another really important thing too is paying attention to what's called eligibilities for these positions. So if you're a veteran or if you're a student and this is a job that's open for interns, they have links on there that you can click on and it'll tell you what what you would need to qualify under that criteria. And it's very specific. So veterans, you need to upload a DD-214 or a statement of service. You have veterans preference. They also have Schedule A for individuals with a disability.
The other thing I just thought of right now, see, I get distracted quickly. Going back to building your profile and reading the announcement, I'm starting to see announcements now where they say, okay, the job opened January 8th. It's going to close January 15th or when we receive 100 applications. Here's the disclaimer, guys. If you've ever seen that, submit early. Don't wait until the close date because it would sure be a shame where you're like, well, I thought it wasn't going to close for another week and a half. Yeah, but they said first, you know, 100 applications. You want to be in the first 100. Let's switch gears a little bit. Walk through with us kind of the top five myths that you've seen being in the HR profession.
Sure, I'd love to debunk some of those. One of the biggest things I had heard was you're never going to get your resume through because it does a scan for keywords or something like that. This is absolutely not true. What happens is when you go and you apply through USA Jobs, you are going to take an assessment questionnaire, and it all starts there based off of the way that you're answering those questions, whether you're going to be referred or not, and how you score on there. It's always important to be honest in the way that you're answering your questions because your responses will be measured against what's in the content of your resume. Mm-hmm. And then your resume will actually get to an HR professional on the other side.
So an actual human
who is going to go through each resume and basically assess it against the position requirements. And how we do that is we go through a website called OPM, which is Office of Personnel Management, and we check on the qualification standards, the requirements for a certain job series.
Okay, so first myth, resumes are scanned for keywords by an automated system. The answer is no. What's the second myth?
That you have to know somebody that works in the federal service. This is also incorrect. Granted, I think networking is always a benefit.
Sure.
So always network where you can.
Yep.
But it's not a requirement for getting a position.
What about third myth?
We kind of touched on this a little bit before. Your federal resume should not exceed 2 pages. So there's, like I said, there's no minimum or maximum requirement for a resume, but it should be detailed enough, like more than bullet points, where you are expanding on your experience and you're laying it out. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough to try to avoid using acronyms as much as possible. So spell it out. And at the same time, don't overwhelm it. Like, you don't have to write a book. Be considerate that somebody is going to be reading this. You know, list your relevant experience for the position that you're trying to fill. Typically, experience that's not relative to the position that you're trying to fill isn't going to be really looked at. Mm. So that's why it's really important to write relevant experience to these positions.
Right. We're on to myth number 4.
You need a security clearance to qualify for a federal job.
Ooh.
Not true, although there are background checks that will be done for every federal position and at least eligibility for a clearance that needs to be provided. So it's a little bit more in-depth when you have to do the background clearances, but it's not a requirement for all positions. The great news is if you're reading the announcement, it's going to tell you exactly in there what clearance level is required for the position that you're applying to.
Last myth, myth number 5, hit me with it.
All federal government job openings are listed on USA Jobs. It's a very good place to start, like I said. There are other agencies that may not necessarily post to USA Jobs, and that's where I think it's important to at least reach out to somebody that maybe you might know working for one of those agencies to see where you can go to apply.
I want to say thank you again, Jason, for coming in. So happy to have you as our guest. Definitely looking forward to the event on February 12th. Thank you so much, Diane. I appreciate your time. I hope that this was fun for you. It was fun for me. I had a good time.
So yeah, it was fun for me too.
Thanks for coming in. And that will wrap up this episode of Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie. Sorry, Art, we missed you. But Art will be back with us next episode because I said so, boss. So make sure you're there.
Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie is a production of the NAVWAR headquarters Public Affairs Office in association with NAVWAR Corporate Operations. Our podcast production team includes Ed Disco Buckleton, Kara McDermott, and Ramon Goh, our digital media specialist, who produced today's show. On behalf of Frankie and myself, I am Art Sterrett. Have a great Navy Day.